I really can't add much to the psalmist's expression, but I think about maybe a New Testament similarity. And I think about Paul as he's writing there to the Christians at Rome. We mentioned Romans chapter 1 and how he reminds us we're without excuse, that the things that are created extol there is a God. He begins talking about how we ought to follow him, and yet in so doing, all have fallen short. All stand in need of a Savior. And then he goes on and he begins talking about that salvation that God provided. He commended his love towards us, Romans 5 and verse 8. He made that available unto us. Particularly to a Jewish audience, he makes the expression that you ought to be like your father Abraham, not because you rejoice that you have his blood flowing through your veins, but that you have his faith lived out in your life. He goes through and he makes recognition that how he wished all men would follow this. He even weeps tears, my brethren, according to the flesh, that they would be obedient unto the gospel. That all have this opportunity to be able to follow after God and enjoy the hope of salvation. That's a horribly quick summary of Romans 1 through Romans 11. But he summarizes those thoughts in Hebrews 11 and verse 33 with the same kind of wonder you see in Psalm 8. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That's the God that has provided for our salvation. And so he makes a grand transition there in Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, I beg, I implore you, I call alongside and ask you. Brethren, by the mercies of God, by all that he has done for us, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I word Paul's language in this fashion. I spent 11 chapters showing you the wisdom and the mercy of God. And having shown you that mercy, I plead with you, follow him. Walk with him. Be obedient to him. Do so because of his great love for you. Verse 1. Do so because it is the best life there in verse 2. Don't be shaped according to this world, but truly be transformed, changed from the inside out. By what? By the knowledge of his will. By coming to know him, and you can see for yourself that this is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And in so doing, you're going to then turn into the world and you're going to shine as lights in the world, Matthew 5 and verse 16, and show them that this is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And that it is the best life to live. We have sadly destroyed a word, but I mean it in its fullest sense. We have an awesome God. We have one who has loved us and cared for us and blessed us, one who has extended great mercy and grace unto us. Though we have drifted from him, though we have not always acknowledged him as we ought to, yet he still calls out to us. And the same plea of the psalmist that recognized in all of his great creation that God is greatly to be praised. And Paul, as he looks at God's great mercy, he's greatly to be praised and as well to be followed. Where are you? Do you still stand in wonder and amazement and awe at God and all that he's made? Does it still drive you to your knees as you consider praising and honoring Him? To consider your life before Him and ask, am I following Him as I ought to? Or is it time for some changes and correction in my life? The great news is that invitation continues to be open. And it's open even to us tonight. And so you look at your life, you examine yourself, and perhaps as you do so, there's one who says, I want to know more about what it means to serve and honor God, and we'd love the opportunity to study with you. Perhaps there's one who knows, there is a great God, but I haven't been following Him. I've been stubborn. I've been rebellious. Why not even this night make that choice and decision to be obedient, faithful unto Him? Look into those examples of the first century as they were faithful unto God and they heard the gospel and believed it. They repented of their sins. They confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they were baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins. And they were added unto the Lord's church. Their sins were washed away. They came forth as new creatures, walking the Christian life. But maybe somewhere along the way, we've lost some zeal. We've lost some determination to keep following God. We lost that awe. We have the opportunity, maybe privately, to remind ourselves, I need to appreciate more. I need to think more about God and His will and follow Him. Make some changes in my life to live that out. Maybe you desire the prayers of your brothers and sisters that we can go before you the throne of God and ask for your forgiveness and then strengthen and encourage you in the things that you need in your life. Won't you examine yourself? Will you look at yourself as you consider all that God has done for us and determine that I'm going to follow Him? We have that invitation and that opportunity open before us. If we can help you with it, won't you let it be known? Come forward as together we stand as we sing.